Welcome to the Conceive, Believe, and Achieve show. Today's guest is Aliyah Nicol, yeah. Right? Got that right? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you are a University of Alberta wrestler currently in your fifth year in the kinesiology program?
That is correct, yeah.
Awesome. And you're sorry, go ahead.
I'm in my fifth and final year and excited to see where my wrestling journey continues after university.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about your wrestling career. In fact, I want to know a little bit more about it. Aliyah, I really don't know much about the West Coast scene. I do know your coach, Owen Dawkins. He actually used to wrestle in the same era that I wrestled in. So I know him well. So say hi to him when you get a chance. I'm not sure if he knows I'm doing this podcast anymore, but maybe we'll grab him for a guest at one time or another. We'll see what happens. But what I want to do, because I don't know much about that area of wrestling, I want to talk to you about your wrestling journey, where it started, and you know, what initially drew you to the sport of wrestling.
Yeah, so I grew up in Swift Current, Saskatchewan. So in the southwest corner of Saskatchewan, not much to do there. So I started wrestling when I was 7 years old. My parents were always wanting us, like me and my siblings, to be in sports all the time. So we were always in a winter sport, always in a fall or summer sport kind of thing, like always doing athletics. And we started off with just figure skating when I was like 3, 4, 5. And then my sister and I transitioned to hockey when we were like 6 and 7, and neither of us really enjoyed it. We just didn't want to be in it, but my parents, of course, were like, you've got to be in a sport. So through one of my friends, she was in wrestling because of her brothers. And so I go to my parents and I'm like, I want to wrestle. And they give me this confused, concerned look and they're like, sure. Yeah, of course. Why not? What's wrestling? They had no clue. Never heard of it. Never didn't realize that Swift Current had something like that. And so started when I was 7 and I've loved it ever since. My first coach, Curtis Beam, like instilled a passion in me that like I can never like thank him enough for. So
awesome. And that's out of your hometown?
That was out of my hometown. Yep.
And how many kids did you have at the wrestling program there?
It varied year to year, but usually anywhere between 15 to 30. And it depended on, like, the age, too. Because, like, how my coach set it up was he'd have, like, a younger kids group until you were in, like, grade 5, grade 4-ish. Maybe even grade 6, depending on, like, skill a little bit. But that'd run for like an hour every Wednesday and Saturday. And then for an hour and a half directly after, he'd have like the older kids group. So it just varied group to group and year to year, but usually like anywhere 15 to 30 people.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about your first experience, I guess, competing. You got into the wrestling room. You got to wrestle with all these kids. But then at some point, I'm assuming your coach forced you to get on the mat and actually compete. Tell me about that experience for you.
The first competition was fun. It was exciting. I came home with the silver medal, and like little me was super excited. And I think coming home with that first silver actually made me want to go back more and like strive for more. But it's hard to remember. Like that was, I'm 22 now. That was when I was 7 years old. Like, but I just know that I absolutely loved it. I loved the atmosphere in the gym. I loved the like almost like the team atmosphere that we had, even though it's an individual sport. Like all my teammates were always on the sidelines cheering like everyone on. We were always like just supportive, being there for each other, and like win or lose, like we were just there to have fun and learn and enjoy. So
awesome. That's great. So that's your first experience. You obviously are a little more experienced than that now. You are you have some accolades. You were at the Pan American Games as a cadet. Mm-hmm. And you were, was it a silver medal there or bronze?
It was silver in 2018.
2018. Okay, so that's a little bit closer to now. Can you talk about your experience there? Can you walk us through, I guess, the emotions that you experienced during the competition and maybe upon reaching the podium for Canada?
Yeah, so that was my second Cadet Pan Americans. I had went when I was in grade 9 in 2016, and didn't go as well. I'd never been international. I'd never even realized like what that was. I didn't know wrestling was outside of Canada really. Like I was kind of young, dumb, like didn't know a lot. Like I even when I like went to nationals my first time, I was like, I didn't know that nationals was a thing. Like I was so just there for the sport to enjoy it. And going to my second Pan Ams, like I had a little bit more like understanding of what was going on and like a little less nerves. So I had two really good matches, one against Mexico and one against the USA. And just it's so much different. Like it's not a lot different, but like it is different being in a different country and like just the protocols you have to go through before even like getting on the mat. Like they make sure you're in the crowd, like, and you're getting set up. You can't walk out until they call your name. Like there's just, it's just always something different going on. So I think that like also deterred my nerves because I was like just trying to focus on where I had to be and when I had to be somewhere. And where I could even go sometimes. I would get lost in those places a lot. But it's a great experience being able to represent Canada and like especially like being able to represent Swift Current too. Like it's not every day that somebody at a Swift Current is able to go international with things. And being there with the team that I had, like the support was great again. Like it's so amazing to me how much like the support has not changed from like when I was at 7 years old until now. And yeah, like I had a really good match against Mexico. I was able to, I believe I pinned her, and then I went the full, since it was cadet, it was the full 4 minutes with the States. I think it ended up being like 8-5, or it was a pretty close match. Like a couple more shots for me, or I know I gave up a 4 point move, and like that's what like I think sunk, like she sunk into that 4 point move and was able to like hold on to it. So just not giving that up, but like I'd never experienced, like I had experienced it before, but like not to the point where like mentally I was prepared for it. So going there and just feeling it and feeling prepared for it like was a great experience.
Awesome. So yeah, I think I watched that match today on YouTube, actually, to tell you the truth. That you looked a little bit disappointed at the end. You looked like the frust more frustrated, I think, than disappointed. Just because I think the American was holding off on that lead.
Yeah, I think like I gave up a dumb 4 point move. I do know that. Like she got a good double leg. And I don't think I'd tried to defend to my stomach. I just kind of, I knew we were going out of bounds, and I was like, oh, we're going out of bounds. And my mind
Yeah, that's
just.
the one I watched. It was the double leg out of bounds. It didn't look like a very great double leg. Sorry, it didn't. It just didn't look like it would have scored to me where I was sitting. Of course, I'm playing armchair quarterback. It didn't look like a great score, a scoring opportunity for 4 points. I wouldn't have given her 4 points if I was the ref. So there you
Oh,
go.
I appreciate that. We'll go back to that match and we'll redo
We'll have to call the Americans. I'm not sure they're gonna go for that. So you're a university wrestler as well. Fifth year, you wrestle for the Pandas. How are you balancing? And again, you're still competing internationally, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you balancing that? Because this is a tough schedule. International, it's not just collegiate you know, athletics. You're actually doing international as well. How are you balancing schoolwork, fifth year schoolwork, and your athletic endeavors?
Yeah, so for the past 2 years, like, it's actually been quite difficult. So my first year, unfortunately, I had, like, injuries. I wasn't really able to wrestle much, so I didn't find that struggle between sports, school. Like, I kind of had to focus on school because that's all I had going for me at the moment. Then COVID hit, so didn't have literally anything. And then my third year of school, things started to kind of pick up with wrestling again. No injuries, no COVID-ish. Like, it was like the back and forth, like, you can wrestle. Actually, we're going to take it away kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then my fourth, fifth year, like, it's been a lot. So for the past 2 years, I've been on both the senior national as well as the U23 world team. And I have missed a full, in the fall semesters, I've missed a full, like, 2 to 3 weeks minimum of school, because I'll be away for a week for senior worlds, and then I'll be away for a week for U23 worlds, as well as the extra tournaments here and there for university wrestling. Mm-hmm. So finding that balance has been quite difficult at times. It's just a lot of, it's hard to find motivation at times, but it's just that perseverance through that little, knowing that you need to get a workout done or you need to get homework done. So it's just going past the point of even, like, finding motivation for it. It's just straight up, you have to do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the difficult part, is sometimes, like, you cannot find that at all. Like, there's nothing to grab onto. Like, you are tired, you are, like, both mentally, physically, like, any type of fatigue, like, you just want to stay in bed some days, which, like, after a long weekend of tournaments, you don't really want to do anything on the Sunday. You want to reset yourself, you know, you want to do some laundry, maybe like meal prep for the week, but you got to do more than that. And finding that balance of, like, also having, like, a little bit of a social life outside of wrestling and school is really difficult. But I also do have my teammates, and although we see each other 24/7 almost, because we all live at the school, they are a really great outlet to, like, just have some fun banter with, like, talk crap with.
So, but, yeah. You're talking about your teammates. What is your practice room like? I know, like I said, I know your coach. I imagine it's a pretty tough room. Can you run me through what practice is like for you when you first got to the university? Was it a shock? Was it something, ooh, okay, I got, you know, I'm okay with this. I can build into it. What was it like?
Yeah, my first year of university, it was definitely a shock. I went from, like, in high school, I would practice 4 or 5 times a week, but it was never to this level, to this extent. We would always do, in, like, high school, it would always just be technique for, like, 30, 45 minutes, maybe some, like, cardio, some extras, some wrestling, like, but that was it. And then, like, it's a room full of, like, exceptional wrestlers once you get to university. So, yeah, we might be doing something very similar to high school, but you always have someone pushing you and always have someone, like, who's better than you in the room. So it was a shock. Like, I didn't know what I got into, and I wasn't prepared for the first little bit. Like, I was able to keep up, but that's what it felt like, is that, like, I was keeping up with it. I wasn't excelling in it, and I wasn't really, like, holding my own. Like, I was just there, and I was keeping up. I was mm-hmm. trying to, like, catch up almost. Especially, like, the third, fourth years, like, they'd been in the weight room for 2, 3, 4 more years than I had, and I'd never lifted weights before coming to university, so that was also something very new.
Wow. So what advice would you give to new recruits going to the Pandas workouts?
Honestly, just have an open mind. Like, I was given exercises that I was like, this is the stupidest thing that I think I have to do right now. I'd go to the gym and, like, of course, like, I'd never worked out before. So, like, my strength and conditioning coach at the time, like, he'd give us workouts and I'd be like, why do I have to do this? I look dumb. Like, I physically felt like I looked dumb sometimes. And he's like, just go for it. And I'm a very good person to follow the program, so I've followed the program to a T, no matter how much I hate it. And keeping an open mind and like being like accepting of what's given to you is definitely like really important for someone coming in. There's times where you need to say no and times where you need to be like and ask the reason, like, why are we doing this? But there's also times where you just gotta be like, okay, and then you gotta go do it.
And so I'm big into sports specific training and stuff like that. I've been doing my research with a few guys out there that I've come to know that have some really great stuff. How much do you think the sports specific training outside of wrestling has helped your game?
I want to say a lot. Like, technique is very important in wrestling. Like, if you do not have good technique, like, you will struggle on that. But you will also struggle if you do not have that strength component. Just, you get athletes who are strung out of their wits. Like, I've never had to wrestle a Amit Lohr from the States, but my one teammate has. And she is built amazing. Like, I am so jealous of how she's built. Like, she is someone that, like, she's younger than me, but I want to look like her. And but that's the thing, like, she does a lot of like off mat training, and it, like, if you look at someone like her, it has helped her. Like, the off mat training is like definitely, if you want to be a good wrestler, yeah, just stick to your on mat training. If you want to be a great wrestler and like be exceptional and actually do something with the sport of wrestling, you need to go above and beyond and get that off mat training, get that cardio, get that just everything. So
And make yourself look silly.
meh, you will look so stupid in some of the exercises, but it's worth it because wrestling is a weird sport, so
Well, and you're put into really different positions in wrestling, and you know it's really hard to train sports specifically for that as a result. I mean, you can take positions in swimming and kind of emulate the motions and stuff like that, but to do that for wrestling when somebody's you're pretty much a pretzel sometimes. It's hard to train for that, but with a good strength trainer, I'm sure you can find some way of making you look silly to get stronger, right? I wanted to talk about mindset. You know, mindset's a big thing for sports, and you know, it's kind of the I guess the flavor of the month. But mindset when going into, you know, I guess, what role do you think mindset plays in achieving success in an athlete, especially maybe in your career? I know that you had spoke in previous interviews about Justine. Is that the Justine helping you out with your mindset?
Yeah,
Yeah.
like Justine Bouchard, like she used to coach with the Bears and Pandas, and like she isn't helping out coaching this year as she's taken a little bit of a different path in her life. She's helping with some like high school teams, but she's a mother and like she has a lot on her plate, so like totally understandable. I fully support her like choosing her own way to go and whatnot. I miss her in the room, but she's definitely been a big support and like big help when it comes to mindset. She's the positive, fun-loving, but like also like if you need to talk about something, like she is there and she just is very grounding. So mindset and wrestling is like definitely a piece that, like, again, on mat, good wrestler, add the weights, add the cardio and all that off mat stuff, like great wrestler. But then that mindset, like that's gonna is really gonna set like athletes apart. And it shows, like on days where I have a great mindset, I can't get touched. Like am in my own wrestling room and I'm not getting a point scored on me, which awesome. And then there's days where I go in, I'm tired, I don't want to be there because I feel like I have better things to do sometimes, which it happens in the sport, like everyone gets tired at some points. But those are the days where I don't shoot well, I get put on my back and physically just cannot get off no matter how hard I fight. And like, and maybe it's just whatnot, but I know when Justine was in the room, like she would somehow take a bad day and make it into a at least mediocre day. Mm-hmm. just because she helps you realize, she really helped like us realize that you're gonna have those bad days, and it's okay to have those bad days, and it's okay to have like those off mindsets, because that's also how you have to get better. Like if you can wrestle through a crap day, like you can compete to your best on a good day. So
mm-hmm. I remember talking to Ohenawa Akufu, a good friend of mine, and I don't know if you know that name, but a world medalist in wrestling, but she said she would often give herself time to feel bad for herself after a loss, and it would be about 2 minutes, and then she allotted a certain amount of time to say, you know what, okay, well, I can feel sorry for myself, and then if she didn't, she had friends that would kick her in the ass and say, get out of that funk, let's go, let's get moving. Do you have friends like that are supporting you?
Oh yeah, our like the entire team, like my entire wrestling team, and like, and I have friends outside of that are definitely that supportive as well, but like again, like it's hard to make socialization time, so, but the team is great for that. Like if you have a crap match, like they're like, all right, let's talk about it, let's talk why we think it went bad, give it like maybe 5 minutes out of you to be like down and hard on yourself, but you got another match, we gotta reset, we gotta go. So we'll pick out the like usually like 2-3 things that you did good in the match, 2-3 things that we need to work on for next time or to focus on not doing in the next match. And that gets you out of the funk, that gets you out of the mindset of, oh, that was a bad match, like I need to restart. And then you're good to go.
Yeah, I was coaching a kid this weekend, and a young kid, not a university level anymore. I stopped doing that a while back. But he, you know, he had some losses, and he was very, very disappointed. And I think it's really hard to bring that kid or those kids that have faced those losses and think that there's, you know, they're not going to go anywhere. You have to talk to them and tell them, listen, you can't focus just on the negative. It's so hard to. As a young, well, I'm not young, but but when I was young, it was so hard to focus on the the good of what you did. You always focus on the negativity. How instrumental has your coaches been to reshape your focusing when it comes to staying away from that negativity?
Our coaches are really good at like reshaping that negativity into like just either like there's it's so hit or miss sometimes. Honestly, like they have a lot of athletes to deal with, so sometimes they're really good at being able to be like, no, like stop doing this, but like a lot of times it does come back to like the other athletes helping us out more. But definitely like after a tournament or just like after practice, it's a lot easier for a coach to reshape that negativity. In a tournament wise, like it's very understanding, like you have 4, 5, 6 mats going at a time with maybe 3 coaches. So like they're running around like chickens with their head cut off. So like for them, they get their 10-second spiel after your match and then they kind of have to run off. Yeah. But so a lot of times at tournaments, it'll be like other athletes picking you back up off the ground, because if they see their teammate wrestling bad, then sometimes they also wrestle bad. Just because your team brings the vibe, and if that's not like the energy, like they bring the energy, like, and if the energy's not there from the entire team, it starts kind of like going down the ladder.
Yeah.
So the coaches, though, like, we work on a lot of mental training actually in our room. So before practices, we'll have like a 10-minute like mindfulness session where we are going through, and for the first like 3 minutes, we're working on just relaxing our body, like understanding our body and like, oh, does this hurt right now? Like knowing what feels good, what doesn't feel good within our body. Mm-hmm. And then for the next 3 minutes, we're just thinking about like, what was our best match? What's our best move? Like going through the technique in our head and whatnot. And then for the final 3 minutes is just like words of affirmation and like being in a positive mindset, ready to go, ready to like compete. And that's how like we work on it in our practice room a lot, is like just getting that like 9 minutes to work on mindfulness, because it's hard to like just take time out of your day and like be like, oh, I'm just gonna like sit here and relax, because I don't have time for that as I am balancing athletics in school. Mm-hmm. So I genuinely appreciate it whenever my coach gives us like our mindfulness and like gives us that 10 minutes at the beginning of practice or end of practice to just stop and be like, all right, take a breath and just relax, focus on yourself. And sometimes like I think it's the dumbest thing, because I'm like, why am I just laying here for 10 minutes? Like,
yeah,
I don't have 10 minutes worth of thoughts half the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it really gets you to focus on like what you need. Like there's sometimes I'm relaxing and I'm like, oh, my knee kind of hurts. Maybe I should get that looked on, just because I haven't been able to take a second to be like, what is bothering me? And then when I focus on that and like realize when I'm taking a shot in practice, I'm like, oh yeah, like my knee did bother me. Maybe I should change how I'm standing, because my stance is bad and that's what's actually bothering it. So it gets you to like, that little mindfulness really like gets you to stop, think, and that carries over into tournaments as well, because then it just gets you to, especially the words of affirmation part at the end, like you have a bad match, like now you have these words of affirmation being like, no, I am strong, I am like powerful, I am an athlete, like whatever word of affirmation like you use. And it usually can like bring you out of a rut.
Mm-hmm. You know, I came from an era where, you know, especially the culture down in the U.S. was just grind it out. Who cares about you, how you feel? Just go and battle it out. Don't worry about it. You know, your injuries, they'll go away eventually. It's nice to hear that athletes are taking their time to kind of relax, evaluate what's going on, self-evaluate, because you guys are the best barometers for that. How long, I want to know, like, is this practice been in place for the 5 years that you've been at the University of Alberta?
Not quite. Like, it kind of started a little bit more in my third year coming back from COVID. I think our coach, like Owen, like he really realized how big of a hit COVID did, because like we had some athletes that unfortunately didn't return. We had some really good athletes that didn't return because they didn't enjoy the sport as much as they did, or they just didn't want to balance the school wrestling again. So I think he took a moment to realize that like it's a hard sport. Like it's not an easy sport. We are on the mat 4 or 5 times just practicing, plus 2 or 3 workouts, plus 2 or 3 times cardio a week, and we're gone almost every weekend, every other weekend for a tournament, which like most sports, like when they're gone for a game, their game is only like hockey, their games are at 7 p.m. at night and it's 2 hours and that's their game. Like, yeah, they have their pre-game stuff and everything, but when we're at a tournament, we are there from like 9 to 5. And you don't really get time to like relax or do homework in between matches. Like you just don't have that time. As we're like a hockey, you could do your homework all the way up until you have to go to the rink to play their little soccer game that they play before practice and do their warm up.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous. I'm kind of jealous, but
Sounds like it.
I don't, we don't get that. Like, we have to do one more traveling. And so I think Owen realized that like wrestling's a mentally tough sport and we need to just take some time to make sure that we can get through it. Because 10 minutes, one practice or two practices a week, like that's 20 minutes, yeah, that we could be doing on mat time, but that's also 20 minutes of they will be more mentally prepared and more mentally ready, which again, on mat, good, off mat, great, mental off mat and mental on mat too, though, like exceptional.
You talk about COVID there and how it did affect some of these athletes' mindsets. How was your mind or your mindset, I guess, during that time of COVID, and how did it affect your training process?
I think it gave me a chance to realize that like why I was doing the sport, and I liked it for the competition. I loved it for the social atmosphere and like all that, but like it really just gave me a sense of gratitude towards the sport. So when COVID hit, we were given like all these like little like at home workouts because that's all we got to do. And when we finally started to be being able to like get back on that, like we were only allowed maybe 10 people in the room at a time with masks on, and it was not fun. But because as soon as the mask would fall off, you'd be like, oh, give me a second, give me a second, and then you've got to go put it back on and you're like, this is the dumbest thing. But rules, we had to follow the rules, we had to follow the guidelines because we're wrestlers, and if we don't follow the guidelines by literally anything, we would get kicked out. But that's a complaint for a different time.
You know,
But
I on a side note, I had some kids that after COVID had kind of, and we got back into wrestling. We had a kid that decided he wanted to keep the mask on when he was wrestling in competition, but then the referees said, "No, you can't do that because it's a danger. The person could get their finger in." Entwined and hurt themselves or something like that. So I just kind of I thought of it a little bit of a, really? I mean, this is what we have to, I was just shaking my head at the whole entire process. Not the kid, I love the kid to death. Just the whole process that we went through during that time was looking back at it now, I guess, was a little ridiculous. So sorry, that's just my opinion.
no, and like I like there were some things about it that I was like, okay, like I think this is like a little overboard. But if we wanted to do our sport, we followed the rules, we followed the guidelines because it's what we have to do.
Well,
And
and sorry, yeah, I
go
know
go.
people are getting their programs shut down because they weren't following the rules or govern I think a governing bodies were actually calling the city on various clubs so that they couldn't practice and they get fined. So it brought out the worst in some people. Sorry, I digress. Let me get back to some line of questioning there. Sorry about that. Can you speak of the importance of a strong support system? Whether it's you, and you talk about teammates, but what about family and what about and coaches? You've already kind of hit on coaches, but what about family? How did your family, I guess, perceive wrestling in the beginning? And are they embraced it now? Because we know they were kind of like, "What the hell are you doing?" Have they embraced it?
Oh yeah, they are my biggest supports. My parents especially, like I don't think they've missed some in-person tournaments just because timing and everything, and like especially now that like I'm traveling across Canada, like it's hard for them to like be at every single tournament, but I don't think they missed a single tournament when I was growing up. Like they may have sent me off because, of course, I have two siblings, so two parents, three kids. You can't really get to everyone, especially like we were all in different sports. My brother was in hockey, my sister's in gymnastics, and then I chose wrestling. So they were going three different directions every weekend, every other weekend. So, but they might have shipped me off with someone, but they would make sure to at least be there for it at some point in the tournament to watch. They've traveled with me to my first Pan Ams. They traveled with me to my first Worlds. Where else have they traveled? So they come to almost every... No, they have come to every single Nationals that I've been to. They are my biggest supports. They are my biggest fans. They were questionable at the beginning, but they love the sport. And I think that's something that, like, it's an unknown sport that, like, but they've met so many people. They have so many more friends themselves.
That's great.
And so, like, they, especially when I was younger, maybe not my first year, second year, maybe getting into my, like, third, fourth year of wrestling, though, they were now the experienced parents. And they absolutely loved telling my story, and they loved, like, just helping out the parents that, like, didn't know what was going on. Like, oh, why did they score 2 points there? Oh, why was that only 1 point? Oh, like, my dad, who still isn't 100% on the rules, he's like, I think it's because of this. And he just loves to learn the sport, loves to, like, try his best in it. He knows he would never be able to coach me because he would coach me in every other sport I did. But wrestling is the one that I actually have more knowledge than him in.
What sports did your parents do growing up, do you know?
My dad was really big into football and basketball. Okay. And then my mom just kind of did, like, the main, like, high school sports, like volleyball, basketball. I think my dad did badminton as well.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of a mixture of sports, but never wrestling, because wasn't really offered in that where they grew up.
Well, and I think during, and it sounds like your parents are probably about the same age as me, or maybe a little bit older. But I grew up in an age when girls didn't wrestle. They weren't allowed to wrestle. There were actually times when girls were trying to, you know, get on the high school teams. I don't know if their intention was to actually wrestle or to just see the boys at the time. But, I mean, there wasn't a league. There wasn't anything set up for them. And it didn't come till I was graduated university. My dad actually coached at the University of Western, and he took on the women's program there when it first came on. So I really have a lot of a respect for women's wrestling. Now I can tell you, because of some of the positions that the women wrestlers get in, scare the heck out of me, because it looked to me in that if I was ever in those positions that I would be hurt. Probably, you know, it'd be a serious injury. But because I think the pain threshold that women have over men definitely is an advantage, because, geez, man, it turns us into wimps.
Well, yeah, like, men's wrestling is a completely different sport than women's wrestling. Like, and that is why it is two different categories. But, like, it's a different sport. When I was growing up, actually, so I was small. I was the smallest of small you could get when I was growing up. There were no, like, women's wrestling in Saskatchewan has grown a lot, but when I was younger, it wasn't that big, unfortunately. So I think I started in either grade 4 or grade 5 at tournaments. I would go in the boys' division, which caused a lot of, like, conflict initially, but... I didn't have any females to wrestle. I was too small, and it was safer for me to wrestle with the guys that were my size rather than wrestle up a weight class with the girls that are, sometimes they'd be like 10, 15 kilos more, because nobody was my size, unfortunately. So I'd wrestle with the guys, and it was different, because even wrestling a girl that was like around my size versus wrestling with a guy, like, it'd be two different styles. The guys would be a lot more just like a little bit more strength to it and like whatnot, but like girls, you would, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's a different sport. It's and guys are a little bit more funky. They try and do some dumb stuff. Like they're like, oh, I can do this, and like they cannot do that. But girls are like calculated, like we, if we're gonna do something, like we're doing it and we're following through with it. And I think that's kind of where it goes. Guys are like, I can wing it, I can kind of get through it. And girls are like, no, like this is what I want to do, this is what we're gonna do. So it like changes the sport a little bit. But yeah, so like from like grade 4, I want to say, until grade 7, I only wrestled with guys at every tournament.
Well, that, I think that's one of the luxuries that Canada has had for a while, is that they've ingrained the men's program and the women's program together. Boys and girls have always, since it started, they've always wrestled. Where in the US, I know that when it began, it was segregated. There, you were not wrestling with the boys, you were not wrestling with the girls. And I think that may have impacted their programming when it, you know, in its infancy. But they're getting better, but.
Yeah, like
Sorry, go ahead.
well, just growing up too, like I don't think we would have been able to really separate the girls from the guys, because especially in Swift Current, there were some years I was the only female on the Swift Current Titans, like in my club. And same with high school, like when I joined my high school team, I there would usually be other girls, but like when it came down to like regionals and then provincials, you had to place top 4 at regionals to be able to go to provincials. And there'd be time, there was I think 2 years where I was the only girl going to provincials, just because the girls would just join to join and they didn't think of stuff like that. Like they'd have fun, they'd try their best, but like it's hard to join sometimes when you're in high school and like don't have that much experience behind you, but that's also where a lot of people start. So
So you're at the University of Alberta. You're obviously a far distance from home.
yes.
Were you recruited to go to that, or did you pick that university?
No, Owen did recruit me. He put the time, he put the effort in to get me to
Okay.
come to of it.
And what other universities were you looking at the time? Or were we?
The U of S, of course, was trying to recruit me since like in high school, like I had done a lot of trips with them. U of C recruited me, and then like there were a couple universities out in Ontario that also were like, hey, like come check it out. And I knew I didn't want to be a plane ride away from home. And
Yeah.
I knew for my parents that would not be able to fly with them.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, they come to every tournament, so that would be a lot. I
Yeah.
don't think you'd be able to come to every tournament at
Well,
that
it's
time.
pretty support system there. I mean, it's university can be, and you could probably tell more so now than, but I know it can be a stressor on young kids, mental wise. Just because you're away from your parents, and then you start experiencing the stress that was maybe at high school with academics, but now it's tenfold because you're away from your support system. And is there any ways that you had to cope with or differently once you were out of the home, the stressors with academics and athletics?
Well, I know I like living on my own.
You do, you don't, sorry.
I do like living on my own. I'm a
Okay.
very independent person. And like I had no issue with the transition from like having my I'd end up cooking. By the time I was in grade 11, grade 12, I was cooking most of the meals, honestly, just 'cause it would suit my diet as well as like just with everything my parents were doing and I was doing, like we were every which way. Like sometimes it would just end up I'd have to cook for myself, so I was pretty independent at that point. And then yeah, like it back to that, like just like trying to find that balance between academics and athletics again. Like, in high school, I would tell my teachers, "Yo, I'm going to a tournament for a week because it's in Japan," and they'd be like, "That's amazing! Like, go for it! Like, here's a test that you can take on the road." And I'd be like, "You sure?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, no, here." And I'd be like, "Okay." And then as we're in university, like, yeah, you can get proctored exams for the road trips, but some profs are not understanding of, I'm going to be gone for a week because of this really cool thing called Worlds. And they're like, yeah, no, either the weight will be pushed to the final or you take a zero. And you're like, oh, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And the coach doesn't have any pull?
No. Some profs are really stuck in their ways, unfortunately, and they just don't understand the athletic side of things. Luckily, like, a lot of, like, kinesiology classes, like, those professors, like, are really good at being like, okay, yeah, we understand that balance. We can push it, like, the exam to a couple days later or, like, whatever works for you. Mm-hmm. But some profs that, like, aren't in the kinesiology faculty, like, and don't really have a background of sports, just don't quite understand that, oh, I just, like, I'm gone for a tournament this weekend because that's how you get better. Like, yeah, practice is a great place to, like, get better in, but, like, you also need tournaments to be able to actually develop and, like, understand what you're doing in practice. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they just, oh, I'm gone this Friday. Okay, well, you have to figure out something then. And, like, they put it on you to figure out whether you're going to miss a tournament or miss, like, an assignment due date.
It's sorry to hear that. That's, well, I mean, guess coming from the state side, it was a little bit different. We did have a lot of support for the, well, the coaches did have a lot of pull. A lot of pull. It could be good or bad, I guess. Did you, the other things I wanted to talk about before we get you going, was, beyond the physical and technical aspects of the sport, you know, how do you think wrestling contributed to your personal growth as an individual?
It's a lot. Like, it's been a big personal growth individually. Definitely organization, time management, just independence in general, especially going on, like, the international trips. Like, when I was in grade 9, I went to Peru. And, like, yeah, my parents came with, but we were not on the same flights. We were not, like, I went with Team Canada, which when I went, there was 3 other Saskatchewan athletes going, but we weren't all on the same flight either somehow. So I had to figure out an airport by myself in grade 9. If that's not independence, I don't know what is. But, like, yeah, definitely, like, time management and organization have been, like, the big ones. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a lot of, like, people skills and, like, just understanding how to communicate. Especially in, like, other countries, like, when you're asking for something and they don't speak the same language, it's a very interesting way to, like, have to communicate. And it's fun until you don't know what you're actually getting into.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you know, traversing those airports can be a problem, especially in foreign countries. You know, sometimes people just are not there to help you. You're lucky that you have a Canadian flag on your clothing if you're lucky, because sometimes the tourists are much more nicer to Canadians than they are the Americans, sad to say. Last question I got for you, looking ahead, what are your aspirations and goals for the future?
So I just competed in December, was our Canadian Olympic team trials, and I am the alternate for the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. At the 62 kilo weight class. So I would hope, and, like, I'm training for the 2028, everyone's like, oh, like, do you want me to take out the first place? And I'm like, no, she deserves it. She's an amazing wrestler. Like, she crushed it. Like, she deserves everything. Like, I hope she goes and she medals and she wins the Olympics, because she is that. Pardon?
Who is it?
Anna Godinez.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She deserves nothing but the best. She is such a sweetheart. Like, so it's her, year. It's her moment. Like, I want her to win.
Awesome. Well, that's a great supportive teammate. You are obviously on the development side of wrestling there when it comes to you. When you say alternate, that means you placed second at the Canadian Olympic trials, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I know the process. I'm just trying to sort it out for our viewers in case there's some people that are in here from, and we do broadcast, you know, various sporting, I guess, interests. So you lost, I guess, in the finals.
I did, yes.
You did. So you had a little bit of a setback. What is your approach? And this is going to be my final question. What is your approach now facing those losses? Because it could be, you know, some athletes will say, screw it, I'm done. What is your approach to it right now? And then what is your outlook?
I'm young. I've got time. Like, I'm honestly just, like, happy to have, like, competed at that tournament. Like, it's not really just something that, like, you can wake up and just be like, let's go to the Olympic team trials. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. like, almost anyone can register, but, like, it's not something that you can, like, actually feasibly do. Like, mm-hmm. you would get your butt kicked if you were to just wake up one day and be like, let's go to the Olympic team trials. Like, no, that's not how it works. And, like, that's the thing, too. Like, I earned my spot actually on the ladder. So mm-hmm. at the Canadian Nationals, like, of 2023, I was the true second. Like, I ended up getting bronze at that tournament. But, like, just the way it worked, I was true second because we had a wrestle-off for that spot. And so that put me on the ladder. It put me on a really good spot to be prepared for the tournament. And then I ended up winning my, like, technically semifinal match, I guess. And then just didn't have enough in me to, like, keep up with Anna. Like, she's an amazing wrestler. Like, she is above and beyond what I am at this level. And that's what I aspire to be. Like, honestly, like, I want to be better than her one day. And that's mm-hmm. what keeps me going, is to, I guess, beat her when.
Well, if you go into the football world, that's what Tom Brady thought of Joe Montana. Joe Montana being one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever lived. And Tom Brady, anybody that knows football, dwarfed Montana's accomplishments. So let's hope that you're headed in that direction too. Keep up the great mindset. Aaliyah Nichol, I want to thank you for coming on the show, the Conceive, Believe, and Achieve podcast. If you want to share your social media contact, do it now so that people can get a hold of you if you want them, or to be fans, or let them know.
Yeah, I have my wrestling Instagram page. It's just Aaliyah Nichol Wrestling. There you can keep up with most of what I do. I'm not the greatest at posting some days, but I keep up pretty well. And then my mom helps run a Facebook account called Aaliyah Nichol Road to Gold. It started as a little fundraiser, but now my mom likes to post my matches on there, so, like, all my family can watch and all my family can see. So if you ever want to watch some matches, everything's there.
And you talked about that support already at home. You got it there. Mom's on Facebook going crazy with the postings, which is great. So if you're a fan, if you want Aaliyah to succeed, get over to Facebook, show your support. But I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And folks, if you like this episode, please subscribe, smash the like button. But thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.